morning I invite you to turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2, on Christmas, at our Christmas service, we read responsively the first 20 verses, and this morning we read from verse 21 through verse 40. About two saints of God, Simeon and Anna, with our focus this morning in a particular way on Anna. Verses 36 through 38. Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. Hear now the word of God. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. May God bless the reading and consideration of his word this morning. Well, beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, when promises are made and the fulfillment of those promises are long in coming, we tend to lose hope. The more time that passes by, the least we expect whatever it was that was promised to actually come true. Boys and girls, you know what I'm talking about. For example, if you ask your parents, hey, can we go to Disney World? Can we go to Cedar Point? They say, yes, it's a good idea. We'll go. Sometime. You see, no date has been promised. And time goes on. The days turn into months. The months turn into years. And finally, we don't really expect to go to Disney World or to Cedar Point anymore because it's been so long and we have lost hope. The truth is, in so many ways, we are an instant gratification sort of people. We like our desires fulfilled immediately, and therefore we also tend to lose hope quickly. But not Simeon, not Anna. Two saints of God who represented the unshakable faith and the undying hope of all of those who looked for the redemption of Israel, those who never lost hope in the promises of God, promises that I might add, that never came with a particular date attached to them. As we continue to consider this morning the coming, the blessing and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we consider Anna, mourning with hope. First of all, hope promised and believed. Now, we cannot help but, at least to an extent, to compare and contrast Simeon and Anna a little bit. It seems that on this particular day, no doubt a day that began as any ordinary day before, that these two enjoyed the same blessing of blessings in the temple, a blessing that prepared Simeon for death and a blessing that lifted Anna from her mourning. Now, with Simeon, we're not really given much personal information about him. We're not told at all what he did for a living. We are not given any information with regard to if he held a high position in the community. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know how old he was, although we assume he was an old man, because we are told in verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And then he responds, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." So we really don't know a lot about Simeon. We know what we need to know. We know about his faith. But with regard to Anna, we are given a number of personal details about her. Her father was Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, which is somewhat significant. We'll come back to that in a moment. And she was very old. She was married for 7 years. She'd been widowed for a long, long time. The ESV and the NIV say that she was now 84 years old. But in the original, it's really not that easy to tell. It's very, very possible that she had already been widowed for 84 years, and therefore, given how many years she had been married and how old young ladies were at that time when they got married, she could very well have been around 105 or 106. Now, the Bible teaches us that Simeon and Anna had something wonderful in common again. They were godly people of faith. Simeon, we're told, was righteous and devout. Very simply, it doesn't mean that he was perfect, of course, but it means that he lived righteously. He took his faith seriously, which in a very simple way is what it means to be devout. He was conscientious about matters of religion. He was conscious that all things, all relationships, all of his thoughts and words and deeds were to be done to the glory of God. God's glory is indeed the highest goal of a devout person. If you want to ask yourself, am I a devout person? Then ask yourself this other question: is God's glory my highest goal? Because indeed, God's glory is the highest goal of a devout person. Even though Anna is not described in exactly the same way with the same words, it's clear that she was a woman of faith. She committed her life to the service and the worship of God and to speaking the truth of God to others. And these two had something else in common. They lived in a bad time in Israel's history, both physically and spiritually speaking. Now, we remember the 12 tribes that at some point in their history, they divided into the two kingdoms, the 10 northern tribes of Israel and the two southern tribes of Judah. The two southern tribes that continued to have a son of David sit on their throne. But both kingdoms went into captivity. The 10 tribes are really known as the lost tribes because they never ever did come back in any form together with any amount of people. Some did, as we see through Anna. But we do know that when it came to the kingdom of Judah, many of them had an opportunity to return to the land, but at this point in their history now, they did not enjoy political independence. Those who were there, they were under the hard rule of Rome. They had a cruel king reigning over them named Herod. The religion of most of them was external. And with the legalistic scribes and Pharisees and with the worldly-minded Sadducees, Israel was governed by spiritual leaders who gave lip service to God, but who really trusted in themselves. But Anna and many like her had hope, a hope promised and believed even in the midst of sorrow. We said that Anna was mourning, that she was grieving. But why? I mean, it doesn't say that particularly in the text, does it? But I believe she was mourning. She was filled with sorrow. And most likely not because of her husband, who had already been gone for possibly up to 84 years already, but she was mourning. She was filled with sorrow because of the condition of the Jews. She was mourning their spiritual condition. Scripture says that she worshiped with fasting and prayer night and day. And we know, of course, that fasting had a number of purposes in Scripture, including humiliation and sorrow for sin, and as well, lamentation, lamenting, with a sense of expressing sorrow for some sort of trouble or difficulty. And given the spiritual darkness and degradation and despair in the lives of God's people as represented in the capital city of Jerusalem, not to mention the heavy hand of Roman rule, no wonder Anna was mourning. No wonder she was grieving the situation of God's covenant people. Was she the only one filled with sorrow? No, I don't believe she was. Again, it's not said directly of Simeon, but Simeon was also waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel to come, because they were comfortless. And there were others, as the end of verse 38 says, all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And all of these, Anna with them, received the promises given to God's covenant people Israel. Again, as I've already hinted at, hundreds of years earlier, Israel as a nation was destroyed when they were taken into captivity. And now as a world power, they were nothing. Yet that kingdom, God's covenant people, were not totally destroyed as a people. Anna is proof that some remembered their past, which I believe is supported by her genealogical heritage that is given. She was of the tribe of Asher, one of Jacob's 12, but again, one of the 10 who were lost. And I think this is interesting as well when you think about those to whom Jesus was presented when he was born. Indeed, to Simeon, but also to Anna of the lost 10 tribes, to the Magi, representing the Gentile world. Indeed, a beautiful picture that our Lord Jesus Christ came for those from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Anna was a daughter of Israel. Anna was a recipient of the covenant promises of God. Anna, as well, was familiar with her heritage. And beloved, even though God had been silent for 400 years from the time of Malachi the prophet, as we said last week, to Zechariah into the temple, even though God had been silent for some 400 years, he had always preserved a remnant of those who were faithful to him, of those who believed his promises, of those who kept looking for the fulfillment of those promises, again, including Anna, including Simeon, including Zechariah and Elizabeth, including Mary and Joseph, all of whom are described in some way as righteous. Like Anna, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And like Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel, all of the faithful remnant had this hope. And beloved, it was not in vain. It was not for nothing. They took God at his word and not only received the promises, but they believed the promises of the multitude of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah with hope. With hope that didn't decrease with each passing day. With hope that never lessened, but instead with a hope that increased, because each and every day they knew that they were one day closer to the fulfillment of God's promises. His promise of the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3. His promise that we read about in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. the promise that we read about in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just a sampling of the promises of our God concerning the Messiah to come. And every single day, Anna and all those who were looking expectantly for the fulfillment of those promises, they knew that they were one day closer. Anna, too, not only received the promises, but she believed them and she spoke of them as she is described as a prophetess. Yeah, we don't know exactly in what capacity that was. We know that there were prophetesses in the Old Testament, Deborah, Huldah, to mention a few. Most likely, we don't know for a fact, but most likely she was not a prophet in the sense of being one given special revelation regarding the future like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Elijah and Amos. Maybe she was, we don't know. But we do know that she was given clear insight into the Old Testament scriptures and that she understood the promises of God even better than the religious leaders of her day. And the beauty here, beloved, is that even in the midst of a low spiritual condition for the church of that day, our God did not leave Himself without a witness. Anna's belief is evident of that as she dedicated her life to the worship and the service of the Lord. And what a powerful reminder. What a powerful reminder that no true worship of God, of the one and only Almighty God, no true worship of God can exist without the hope of salvation, because He alone is the God of our salvation. And that hope included faith in the promises of God. Now, we don't know if she literally lived in the temple. She might have, but it's clear that her whole life revolved around temple service and worship. To put it in our kind of language, she never missed a worship service. She was always present at the morning and at the evening sacrifices, which incidentally were each and every day. She was not just a Sunday Christian, but she was busy and active in the life of the church throughout the week. In the midst of a sad spiritual climate, beloved, the temple was a silent symbol to her of her hope, as the sacrifices pointed to the one great ultimate sacrifice to come. The temple pointed forward, if you will. It pointed upward, and it was a reminder to true believers of God's covenant promises. Then Anna's faith was demonstrated in fasting because of the sinful condition of the nation and in her prayers for the fulfillment of God's promises to send a Redeemer. And therefore, Anna is an example for you and me of living from the promises of God. She is an example of the believer that Paul describes, one who walks by faith and not by sight, not according to all that she saw around her. She never gave up hope. Instead, she encouraged and strengthened others with that hope, that they too might live in eager expectation. We are called to encourage and to strengthen others and each other with that hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. Not in the sense to tell others, well, God will deliver you from your difficulties if you believe in Jesus, so you will never face anything hard or difficult ever again. No, but that God will deliver His people through the difficulties of life because of our faithful Savior. In our day, we know the part of the story clearly that they only knew dimly. Redemption has come. The Messiah has come. He has gone to the cross. He has suffered and died for the sins of those who would believe in Him. He lives and reigns today, and therefore, as our Lord Jesus said, whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet he shall live. And as Paul says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Beloved, this is the Lord's promise to us, witnessed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, along with a promise that he is going to come again to judge the living and the dead. He is coming again. Oh, beloved, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. But do you look forward to, do you anticipate the coming of our Lord, whether it be on the clouds of glory or whether it be when you face your deathbed? Do you anticipate it? Do you look forward to it? Or as time goes by, do you really wonder, is it really true? Is Jesus really coming back? You see, those who are watching and waiting, those who are longing will not be disappointed. Anna wasn't. As secondly, we notice her hope fulfilled, verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, with regard to the timing on that day, it's hard to tell, but it seems that it probably took place right after Simeon held the Christ child and spoke of him, to which Anna may have been a witness. She may have heard it all. And I agree with those who say that because both Simeon and Anna spent so much time in the temple, it's very possible, even probable, that they knew each other well, that they encouraged each other with the hope of the promised Messiah to come. But indeed, as we think back over all the details and all the activities leading up to and including the birth of our Lord Jesus, Anna may have heard of the strange behavior of Zechariah in the temple, and she may have heard his somewhat strange explanation of what took place. She may have heard something of the report of the angels preaching to the shepherds, reports of the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. After all, the shepherds, we know, did not keep silent about that. Verses 17 and 18, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But we can be sure that at that very moment, the agent used in fulfilling her hope was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnessed to her heart that this child, this newborn child whose parents were doing what God's law required them to do on this very day, and you never know, it might have been with other parents who were doing the very same thing, but that this child was no ordinary child. That this child was the one. This child was the very one promised by God, the one spoken of by the prophets, the one indeed who would be the Redeemer of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit brought Anna to see and understand the significance of this very child. That he was the Messiah. That he was the anointed of God to save his people from their sins, as the angel said to Joseph even before Mary conceived. Beloved, the beauty of this is that for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation from all of their sin and its punishment and curse, their hope is fulfilled the very moment, the exact instant they believe and trust in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That very moment, as they recognize that Jesus Christ removed forever the chains of sin, that he has made them co-heirs with himself in the household of God. In confidence, they can sing, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord," the very words that Paul sang after he lamented, "Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Beloved, we cannot help but to mourn the world around us, the consciousness of sin and shame, the immorality and the wickedness that is all around us. We cannot help but to mourn even many in what is still called the evangelical church, that doesn't look anything like the church of the Bible. And we also are called to mourn and to grieve our own sin, the sin that we continue to struggle with, the sin that we secretly enjoy, the sin that we often make out to be really okay, not a big deal. Indeed, we are called to mourn for those who are so blind to their lost condition and their eternal doom. But praise be to God, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. As David says in Psalm 30, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." The believer's response to this hope fulfilled, like Anna, is to, in the third place, proclaim this hope. Hers was a hope proclaimed. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She proclaimed this hope with a response of thanks for what God had revealed to her. The idea here is that she did not hold back. She was kind of like a gushing stream that you can't hold back. It poured forth. Her testimony poured forth as her faith became sight. With her very eyes, she beheld her Savior, the very one that gave her hope with God, the very one who was her living hope. This very child Himself was her only hope of heaven. That's true for you. That's true for me. It's true for anyone. That Jesus Christ is our only hope. He is our sufficient hope. He is our complete hope. And what does that mean? Well, we see that here. You see, Anna had quite a story to tell. She had quite a story to tell to others who did not receive the same privilege as she and Simeon received, that is, in seeing the Christ child face to face. But to tell to those who with her and Simeon were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She had quite a story to tell. And just as Anna was blessed to understand the Old Testament scriptures with their promise of the Messiah, today we are blessed to understand the whole, the entirety of the scriptures, of the promise and the fulfillment of the Messiah who has come, who has satisfied God's wrath, so that our sins are forgiven, so that we stand righteous before God. This is the message, beloved, we are called to believe. This is the message that we are called to proclaim. We have quite a story to tell about the true events of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He lived. He died. He paid for our sin. He rose again. He ascended, and He is coming again one day. We have a message to tell, the truth that all men need a Savior and that there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ the Lord. And beloved, it is an urgent message because He is coming again in all of His glory to judge. But the question for you and me is, do we believe this? I mean, really, do we believe this? Do we live as if we believe it? When you wake up in the morning, is one of your first thoughts, praise be to God, I'm one day closer. Praise be to God. Or instead, with each passing day, do you lose hope a little bit more each and every day? And instead of proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, compromise your faith. Become lazy with your faith. Become careless. Become apathetic. Because what difference does it make? As a people of God, how do we respond to the wicked world? How do we respond to the attacks of the devil? How do we respond when we face the hardships and the difficulties of this life and of the wicked world all around us? Do we tend to return evil for evil or good for evil? Or do we face these things with the confidence that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You see, beloved, our lives are not about our daily work, first of all. However important that may be, whatever task it is to which God has called us, our lives are not about our daily work, first of all, but our lives are about the kingdom of God. As those who believe the promises of God, our lives are about the kingdom of God. Our lives are first and foremost about spreading the word of Christ. That is our true calling as recipients of God's promises and grace. Our vocational callings, whatever they may be, again, as important as they may be, are a means to an end, of the end of getting the message out and preparing for that day. And beloved, we have celebrated again in this season of the year Christ's coming. And we are to celebrate His coming again. The coming that we look forward to. He has come. He is with us, even as He said. He is coming again. What a reason to celebrate with hope and to never stop celebrating. And indeed, that is good news worth telling over and over and over again. We might get tired of hearing each other's stories. I know that happens in my household after 30 years. We've heard it all before. But may we never, ever tire of hearing and telling this one, the event of our Lord Jesus. Because apart from Jesus, there is no hope. There is only eternal despair. But for those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith by God's grace, for believers, He is our true comfort. Because He is our only Redeemer. So rejoice, give thanks, and sing for the gift of your Redeemer. Amen. Let's pray.